Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 88 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Quinn.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. This week's episode is sponsored by Views and Cues on Etsy, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. As you can see or hear if you're listening to the audio version, I have a new co-host with me this week while Seth is out. This is Quinn Roseboom. Say hi.
Hello, I'm Quinn Roseboom. I'm not Seth Kuberski.
No.
I used to do the attractions show, and I think, yeah, this is my first time on the podcast, so
yeah. Hello, everyone. Yeah, he has graciously agreed to fill in this week and put up with me and my shenanigans, but how have you been? I know we were talking before we started recording officially, but, like, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been, I just moved in with my boyfriend. We got our apartment together. This is technically my first time moving out of my parents' house. So that was exciting.
Hey, big step.
Been moving in.
Moving is such a pain.
Yeah, it is.
I haven't done it in a while. We've been in this house for like 3 years now.
Yeah, I feel like you just left and like.
I know.
And I know we like lost a year of that to COVID.
Yeah. But. We were just talking before, and I was referring to 2019 as if it happened last year, and it was a year and a half ago. So I'm just dealing with my crippling aging as a result of the loss of this year.
Yeah, I lost my 21st birthday, so that was fun.
Oh,
I still got to make that up. Got to go travel somewhere.
You have to do something. Even if it's just like going to Ready Player One and just being goofy.
I know what one of the. I think Joysticks is the one that closed.
Oh, that's sad.
Some of those arcade bars got hit by COVID. Sound like.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Joysticks is the one that's open. One of those. In Orlando.
I always meant to go out to them. They are some of my friends' favorite spots, but I never managed to hit them. Maybe when I actually come to visit next time. So I have to ride Velocicoaster.
Yeah, you do.
I have to.
and go to, I just went to it. We were going to talk about it later, but DreamWorks Destination.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did. But what else have you been up to? Any games, any movies that you've been like super big on?
Today, actually, I started playing Resident Evil Village. I haven't really like played any of the other games. I watched a little like recap of the seventh one because I knew it mattered.
It's seven.
Okay. Yeah. Biohazard?
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched a little recap, so I know like what happens. But I don't like when there's like the like Southern like hillbillies in horror, it like gets me so bad. I'm like, it bothers me. So I just like that sort of Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibe. Like, you like live next to the filming.
I live really close to the gas station in particular. The house I don't think is here anymore.
Right.
Or if it ever was. But the gas station is still here, and the van, the green van, is parked out front most of the time. And then that, like, weird, the highway where the brother gets run over, that's here.
I haven't watched it in so long for the aforementioned reasons, but.
And then the, like, field where he's, like, dancing around with the chainsaw, that's here.
That's fun.
But, Seven is so.
Oh, I also watched Cruella.
Oh, did you love it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I loved it. I thought it was so much fun.
Yeah, I heard your little review of it last week, too.
Yes, I get to write a full one this coming week. It's still technically under a written embargo.
Okay.
But I was a big fan. I was really surprised. I went in with low expectation and came out pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I was very much, and you said this before, but reminded of Devil Wears Prada.
Oh my God, yeah. It was like Devil Wears Prada, I, Tonya, and like Ocean's 11. Mm-hmm. For not quite kids, because it doesn't feel like...
It's PG-13, I think, right?
Yeah, it is. Because I remember looking into it, I was like, there's no way that this is aimed at children. It's aimed at, like, us. Like, mm-hmm. our age gap, age group. But, yeah, it was fun. I am excited to see Black Widow. I think that's the next screener on the horizon that's movie-wise. Next, otherwise, I think it's, like, Loki is
yeah,
next.
Yeah, I need Marvel. I'm so excited for What If, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, did they put a date on that?
I think they did. Here, do you want me to let me search it real quick?
Yeah, sure.
What
is... I remember writing about it when they announced it during SDCC in 2019, but then COVID happened.
August.
August. Okay. That's not that far away.
No,
I feel like 2021 just started. But anyway, let's get into the news.
Awesome.
We have quite a bit to share with you this week, so some of these we're going to blow through. But this one was too interesting for me to not include, and it's that Kentucky Kingdom has announced a new chaperone policy, effective May 22nd, which was yesterday if you're watching the video, and 2 days ago if you're listening to the audio version. Have you looked into this at all?
I read all the articles that for today. It's something. What was the rule before?
I don't think there was a rule. So basically,
you could go in by yourself as a 6-year-old child, or
well, I would assume that you had to have an adult with you, but it was more kind of like an understood, unwritten rule rather than like an actual policy.
Do like Universal and Disney have this rule already? Like I know like the supervising companion rule for the rides by height.
Right.
Universal, but I'm not as familiar with the Disney ones, but
I'm not either, but that's a great question. So, for those of you who don't know, this new rule requires all guests ages 15 and younger visiting Kentucky Kingdom to be accompanied by an adult chaperone, but this can be a parent, a guardian, or another supervising adult, but they have to be over the age of 21. Mm-hmm. And they have to have a valid ID that includes a matching photo to their face and their date of birth. And this came up after, according to WHAS 11, which is a local news station out there, police responded recently to several 911 calls about fights involving unaccompanied minors in the theme park's parking lot. And as a result, we now have a policy that
did the local high schoolers have like a fighting ring in Kentucky Kingdom parking lot, or
I don't know. That was the basic gist of all the details. But man, can you imagine?
No.
Me neither, which is why this is so funny. Don't go get in fights at theme parks, guys.
All it's going to get you is kicked out.
And then you're going to get a new adult chaperone policy for everyone else. If you are near Six Flags Great America, they are offering $4 million worth of free one-day tickets to newly vaccinated Illinois residents.
That's very exciting, and I think it's a really, really good, you know, incentive, for the residents there, because they're gonna one be able to go back to the park, and mm-hmm. two go in for free because they've been vaccinated.
Yeah, it's a really interesting partnership. Six Flags is doing this with local health departments in the area to help educate the masses that haven't been vaccinated yet, and to reward those who have been, which is I'm surprised it hasn't been thought of before now. But it's a great way to get people out and vaccinated to contribute to this great thing called herd immunity, mm-hmm. and also give people a little incentive to actually go do it.
For sure.
Cedar Point has shaken up the theme park world as far as pay goes, because they've recently announced that they are raising their part-time and seasonal pay to $20 an hour. They're hiring 300 full-time year-round positions with benefits and food and beverage. And they're also offering a $500 seasonal sign-on bonus because they are in need of employees.
Disney Universal, catch up.
Yeah, get on it.
$20.
Yeah, when they said that, my eyes like bugged out of my head. It was like, oh my God, $20 an hour?
No.
For part-time, which is insane. When I worked at Disney part-time, I made $10.90 an hour.
Yeah, I mean, 20,
that's a lot of money.
I wish.
And in addition to all of this, because they are kind of sore for seasonal workers for the summer, they are going to close select days in June, I believe.
Like, they must really be hurting for people to work.
Yeah. I wonder how long these benefits will last, like the $20 thing. Are they going to keep your wages that same rate over, like, year over year? Or is it going to drop down that?
Yeah, if they do drop it down, I mean, that'd be... I'd feel gypped as an employee of that place, but
right, yeah.
The point, but
yeah. Well, they said it's the $20 an hour wage is 100% increase over 2020's wages, so mm-hmm. they were making $10
well,
an hour.
100% more than anyone was making when it was closed. That's for sure.
That's for sure. It's just I find it so interesting what the parks are doing now to try to entice people to come and work for them again after all of the layoffs that devastated not just like Disney and Universal, but like every regional theme park and otherwise everywhere. Because mm-hmm. Cedar Point's doing this. Disney updated their Disney look to allow for tattoos and gender expression.
And I'm waiting for the other parks to follow suit.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Universal is probably struggling with Warner Brothers and J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why they're taking a little longer. I mean, I don't know, you know, what goes on in the minds of the Universal executives or...
Well, and Warner is its own minefield right
now. Yeah.
Because of, for those of you, just for context, AT&T is offloading Warner Media to Discovery. So all of that is up in the air right now.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that. So.
Oh, yeah. AT&T is offloading all of their entertainment assets.
Huh.
Yeah, there's that rumor that Disney is looking to buy DC has popped up again.
I've never even... dang, you get all the rumors.
I'm just on Twitter all the time.
Okay.
And then Josh technically works for Warner Media, so I hear about the other stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, but so interesting. I am really curious to see if this will entice the other parks to kind of step up their pay game or...
I'm still processing. If Disney got DC, they'd have Marvel and DC.
Yeah, so it could mm-hmm. possibly violate some trade yeah. laws.
Right.
That doesn't stop the rumors from happening, nor does it stop Disney from potentially trying to do it.
That's true.
Yeah, because it's got to go somewhere. Like, they are going to sell it off, and it will either stay with Warner Media and go to whatever Warner Media and Discovery end up being because they're merging, mm-hmm. or it will go somewhere else. So
it's crazy.
Yeah, they're also splitting WB Games, which I find devastating.
They do all the Lego games, right? Or just the ones with the Warner Brothers stuff? Or
that I think actually
no, that's Telltale, right? Or TT.
Yeah, I think those Warner games are just licenses, but WB Games was doing Hogwarts Legacy,
right? Yeah, I've heard about
Knights, and the Suicide Squad game.
Oh yeah, dang.
Yeah, I know. I mean, those are probably far enough along. Maybe not Suicide Squad, but
I hope that trailer where Superman shows up. I do want to play that one.
I do want to play that one too, but that's the only one we haven't seen gameplay for. So the who knows where those studios will go. Maybe Microsoft will buy them, and then I'll have to buy an Xbox to play them.
I think we're getting sidetracked off of that one.
It's okay. Tangents. Over at Disneyland Resort, they have made buying your tickets easier by updating the ticketing and park reservation system. So that way you can buy your tickets and get your park pass reservation in tandem instead of having to get one and then the other after you get the first one.
Which makes so much more sense.
Right. You would think they would have done that first.
I am amazed that you still can't make a park pass for World in the My Disney Experience app.
Really?
Yeah, it takes, you click a link in the app and it takes you to the website to make the, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, if you're at Disneyland, you can now go online to disneyland.com/park reservations, choose your ticket, buy them, blah, 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 and then pick a date and park for your theme park reservation after you've selected your tickets. And then you have your reservation selected before you even purchase the tickets. So it's like all one thing.
I'm glad this happened. It definitely was needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope since I haven't like bought tickets that, you know, to Disney World since I have an annual pass, I don't know if it works how it works here currently. But if it's not implemented already, I hope it is soon.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. I believe they've taken the California residents only bit off of the Disneyland website, but I don't know how they're enforcing it or if it went back up. I'm just kind of waiting. I want to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, me too. I was so pumped to go for Avengers Campus, and now it looks like, you know, it's going to open, and I know I'm not going to be there for it. So.
Yeah, in like 2 weeks. But I talked to Matt about that, and I think he said that they are only letting California people go.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. For the Disney Wish, though, over with Disney Cruise Line, they've shown us a first look inside the first ever funnel suite, which is a suite inside of one of the funnels on the ship, which is bananas to me.
It's, yeah, that's crazy. I know one of the other ships, when I was a teen, they had the teen club in the funnel, and that was super cool.
So I didn't think they had anything in the funnels.
Yeah. That's,
I've never been on a cruise or only, on a cruise ship.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Only one of the Disney funnels on each of the ships, I believe, don't, you know, you can fact check me on this, but I believe that they only need one funnel. So the other one's there just for aesthetics.
Okay.
So they can put whatever they want in it.
Well, they put a Moana-themed Wish Tower suite in this one. And it is very fancy and looks very expensive. It sleeps up to 8 people with 2 bedrooms, a children's room, a library that converts into a bedroom, and 4.5 bathrooms.
Why would you need that many bathrooms? Like, that's insane.
And I can't imagine how much this costs. There was also a beautiful ceramic sculpture of the heart of Tefiti. Sorry, my mouth betrayed me there. that does a magical thing when you come inside the suite for the first time.
I wonder if it, like, if you can, like, touch, like, if you touch it, if it would set it off again. Because it's in the description, it says, what's it say about the something about the soundtrack?
Yeah.
So, like, will it play like the Moana theme song and like everything will light up in the room? Or
I don't know. I really hope that there's some kind of media previews or I can see.
I know I want to go in there.
Yeah. Whoever gets to go do that, record that for me because I want to see what it's like. The suite, just the photos that they've shared, is beautiful, and it's
are they photos or are they
they like look like concept photos, but they could be renderings. They're okay. Probably renderings because they only keel hauled the ship or laid the keel for the ship not too long ago, so they're probably just really good renderings. But yeah, it's huge. It's 2 floors, beautiful staircase, and you've got this like once in a lifetime view on this ship.
And you know what really, really gets me is you get your own elevator access into the room.
bananas, just bananas. Once you find out how much that costs, because I'm sure they will do the media event over at Port Canaveral down there, let me know so I can cry forever.
Oh man, I'm rearing to go on this ship, but there's no way I'm ever going to get in that room unless a miracle happens.
Maybe they'll do like a giveaway thing like they did with Cinderella's suite once upon a time. Yeah,
that'd be amazing. Just like randomly upgrade one person's booking to the...
Oh, dude. I would cry. Ronnie says, I'm hoping to go on the Wish ASAP. I know someone who's already, like a friend of mine that's already booked their trip. I'm so jealous. I'm hurting. I just want to go on a Disney cruise. I'd be happy with anything.
I mean, they got that Avengers restaurant experience thing they're doing, and on the
yeah, that's the one that I'm excited about.
Oh, and the first I think they're calling the attraction, isn't it, the Aqua Mouse?
The Aqua Mouse.
It's like the first one that has like show scenes in it. Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah, I bet that'll be so much fun. Over at Universal Orlando, a new Raptor has debuted over at the Raptor Encounter. Bravo.
Who? Like, she wasn't in the movie.
I have not seen any of the Jurassic World films, so you would be better at this than me.
Why not, is my question.
I just never had an opportunity, really, and I don't like Chris Pratt.
Okay, well, that's...
Me neither. Okay, cool. Glad that we've established that. Yeah, other than that, I've just never really had an opportunity.
He's not the main, like he is. He is the main character, but like you don't have to focus on him. It's more about like, you know, the park and the dinosaurs. And
yeah.
I like Claire, you know, she's the park.
I love Bristol Tower. She's wonderful. But you can now meet Bravo in addition to Blue over at Raptor Encounter. Probably before you go on Velocicoaster, just in case you're like vomiting or curling up into the fetal position.
I don't know if it mentions it in the article, but they also have the baby Tango that meets as well. So sometimes they bring out.
That's the one that I want to see. Oh man!
Yeah, they actually met the babies. So
yeah, Boba Fett.
I guess you haven't seen it, but like the Fallen Kingdom version of the baby raptors. They don't really look like the ones that they hatch at the Discovery Center.
Okay. I'll have to see them. I guess
slightly older than the one.
Is it like a Stegosaurus baby? I think I've seen videos of for something.
I think you're thinking of the trike.
They
carry it around underneath their arm.
Yes, and it's like a puppet arm, but the arm.
Puppet? What? No, they're real.
Real, sorry. If you head over to our website, you can learn more about it and watch a video of Banks's daughter Spencer getting terrified by Blue, which is tragic for her but funny for everyone else. Just kidding, Banks and Spencer, we love you. Over at Hong Kong Disneyland, they have announced a new castle stage show to go along with their beautiful Castle of Magical Dreams called Follow Your Dreams.
When I went, you know, they just had the regular, what's it called? Sleeping Beauty Castle.
Yeah.
And I really want to get back there, not only because Mystic Manor is my favorite attraction, but, you know, I need to see this new castle. I need to go on the Ant-Man ride.
I love Ant-Man.
Me too. So,
yeah. And Paul Rudd is a peach. I want to see him on an attraction. I was super skeptical about this castle when they first showed diagrams of it, just because there is so much as far as like architectural style going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
But the actual in-person photos I've seen online, it looks really beautiful. And I would love to see how they stage a show around that.
Yeah, I can't quite remember if I saw any shows going on. I don't recall
ever hearing. Yeah. I don't think there was. Fact check us if we're wrong, but this is the first I've heard about a Hong Kong Disneyland castle show.
Right. I know Shanghai has their huge stage seat or standing area right in front of the castle, but because I went to the two like subsequently. So like, I sometimes get like little things confused about like, you know, which is which.
Yeah.
But I'm almost positive that this one had like no stage.
Well,
art there. Let me.
Yeah, it's very, sorry, very tiny.
Really close to the camera, but some of you aren't looking, you're hearing, so.
Yeah. The show will be 20 minutes long, and it will see Mickey Mouse and his pals set out on an uplifting musical journey with new music and such. That's all they've really said about it. It premieres on June 30th, so if you are local to Hong Kong Disneyland, hello. Thanks for listening to this podcast, and leave us a comment and let us know how it is. I would love to see it.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to see video.
If you are local to Walt Disney World right now, you have an opportunity to check out some special Snapchat lenses themed to Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary that Disney teamed up with Snap Incorporated to make until June 3rd before they launch officially only at Walt Disney World.
Okay, I don't think you have to be here right now to use them, though.
No, yeah. Anywhere in the U.S., you can try these lenses in the Snapchat app, but after June 3rd, you have to be, like, geographically in Walt Disney World to use them.
Yeah, I tried them all out. The Mickey and Minnie ones are really creepy.
Yeah, I'm glad you think
because they're, like, they're peeping over your shoulder, and, like, when you move your head, they move their head with you.
Oh,
so, like, you're, like, shaking your head around, and they're just, like right up on you. It's scary.
When I saw this for the first time, it made me think of the bad lip reading of Seagulls, Stop It Now, from the Star Wars thing with Yoda, where he's, like...
I think I saw that when it hit, but it has been a while.
It's been a minute, but, like, Yoda on Luke's back, just, like, whispering in Luke's ear, that's all I could think about when I saw these. but
it definitely has like a Yoda clang or clinging onto Luke's back vibe.
Yeah, but the hat and the balloons and the bow tie is cute.
Yeah.
And this is just the first part of Disney's collaboration with Snap. They are also launching an AR type of thing. I wouldn't call it a filter because it's not. You take a photo at Magic Kingdom and then you add it to the app and it turns Cinderella Castle into a mosaic of all of these pictures that people have taken in the Snapchat app. And they will be geographically linked to the castle for the 18-month long 50th anniversary celebration, which is cool. So that'll be fun.
A lot of pictures up there.
Oh, yeah. there's a video if you want to go on our website and check it out. But even just like the teeniest, tiniest, they're going to be very small. Mm-hmm. But I assume the ones that you've taken personally will pop up in little bubbles so you can click and enlarge them if you want. And I assume they imply that they're going to be doing more with Snap for the 50th. So I'm excited to see what they do.
I'd love some like attraction specific, snaps. So like, you know, mansion filter or.
Oh yeah. Or like one that turns you into like a portrait, like lightning flash. And then it's like a
That'd
skeleton.
Be cool. Yeah.
They can do anything with augmented reality at this point. It's insane. I'm sad that they're using Snapchat, though, but I get it.
I still use Snapchat, so everyone's always like, oh, do you still use that? I'm like, yeah, all my friends do, too. I don't know. Maybe it's more used in the, like, theme park community? I don't know.
I guess so. It's a really interesting partnership because I guess Snapchat is independently. I don't think they have a parent company. But
I'm not sure about that.
But Instagram is owned by Facebook at large. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to make an agreement with Facebook and all that jazz. So it might be too many cooks in the kitchen for that one. But I'm excited to see these. Over at Kennedy Space Center, they have updated their mask requirements for fully vaccinated guests. And as of May 17th, which was a few days ago, guests who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 don't have to wear face coverings while outdoors at the attraction any longer.
I mean, it's just the same thing, you know, Disney and Universal updated, and I think Legoland's been doing it this whole time, right?
Yeah, they've been outside only, but inside you have to wear them. Yeah. And on rides. Yeah, and that same rule applies at KSC. All guests, whether or not they are fully vaccinated, will have to wear their face masks when indoors, on attractions, in queues, at restaurants, and on the bus transportation to the Apollo Saturn V Center. So keep that in mind. Social distancing measures are still in place as well. It's just being outside is a little bit easier.
Does it say if they've updated from the 6 feet to the 3 feet? Or because I don't know. They're not in Orange County, so I'm not sure.
They didn't say, and okay. I would assume it's 6 feet unless it's listed otherwise.
I'm not even – what county are they in? It's like, I don't know, Space Coast.
Yeah, beats me. But just be sure – when visiting any of the parks in general, it's always a good rule of thumb right now to check their latest health and safety protocol updates and things so that you know what rules you need to follow before you get there so that it's not a crisis or confusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they update them pretty quickly sometimes. Like,
yeah, they do.
Like with this past mask thing that, you know, all the parks, like within a day were like, okay, outside you don't have to wear them.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like they weren't really expecting it to happen that quickly. And then they were like, oh my God. over at Disneyland Resort, the last resort hotel that needed to reopen, Disneyland Hotel, now has a reopening date. It will open its doors to guests once again on July 2nd, but only the Fantasy Tower to start.
I stayed here once for one night. For a media event, I believe.
Yeah.
They comped us that night. I think I was in the Adventureland Tower. I don't know what it's called, Adventure Tower.
I think it's Fantasy Adventure Frontier. I could be wrong.
And then, you know, I've been to Trader Sam's. I almost said Trader Joe's. multiple times. So I'm glad it's opening up again. I'm wondering if the bar will open with it.
Yeah, that's what surprised me most about this announcement was that they're reopening Trader Sam's.
Oh, it didn't announce. Awesome, that's great.
Yeah,
we haven't gotten that here yet.
Yeah, no, which is why I was surprised because I assumed you know, close quarters, that Trader Sam's in particular is so like small,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have the added benefit that Walt Disney World's does of like huge outdoor seating space to accommodate for the inside.
Yeah.
So I just can't imagine. It's going to be slammed that first day.
Oh yeah.
Slammed probably is too light of a word to use.
I would imagine like they'd have to do like a, what's it called? You know, virtual queue.
Yeah. They're also reopening Tangaroa Terrace Tropical Bar and Grill and the Coffee House. I would assume that those two will have mobile order if they haven't stated already. But
just their quick serve restaurant.
Yeah, like okay. I think Tangaroa Terrace. I might be wrong, but yeah, it's quick serve. I've never been there, but I've been to that Trader Sam's.
I may have been, but I do not remember.
I'll be really interested to see how it goes operationally because I'm good, like personally, I'm good with eating inside places now that I'm fully vaccinated and everything. Yeah. I feel fine with it.
Yeah.
But this is a small bar. It's very tiny. It's always busy and always slightly overpacked. Probably not anymore.
I would imagine they're probably not going to have, like, I would hope. Even that they took some of the tables and spaced them out. If they can, I can't. They might be like affixed where they are.
Yeah, I don't. I remember when I went. If you're watching the video version, I sat like at the table that was right beneath this window inside, and we had to wait like 45 minutes for that table. So I really hope they do a virtual queue or something because you know, those California Disney heads are gonna just line up at 6 a.m. that first day just to get a beverage. And I hope that it goes well and Walt Disney World opens up at the Poly, because
I hope that too, very much so.
I miss it. And we've got some good news from Disneyland Paris. Finally, this poor park has had the worst of it in comparison to all the other Disney parks around the world. Starting off with Disney's Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel, formerly just Disney's Hotel New York, at Disneyland Paris now has an opening date and is accepting vacation bookings. It will open on June 21st, and you can book your stays now. It's got tons of Marvel art. If you are a fan of Mondo and their posters and things, you might recognize some of these works. The rooms are themed lightly. It's very, like, you know,
it's New tasteful. York. I like it.
New York-y, modern, with art on the walls.
Yeah, even in that picture, aren't the pillows like Black Widow pillows? Or maybe that's just the...
I see
hourglass type design.
Yeah, and I've seen some Captain America and Iron Man themed concept rooms, I think. They will also have a meet and greet area with Spider-Man. They haven't specified if other characters will be meeting there as well, but I would hope so. Though, thematically, it makes sense if it's only Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, I mean, the Avengers Tower is in New York, so.
Yeah.
It was.
And it's a selfie spot, to be specific. So it's not your traditional meet and greet. It's if you've been going to Paris for the past year and a half, it's been selfie spot city over there.
Mm-hmm. And it says they have a Marvel design studio and a hero training zone.
Yes. The hero training zone it makes me think of the offerings that they do on the cruise line. The Doctor Strange one specifically is what I think of. The one that they've announced for the Wish, I guess, that hasn't happened yet.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And the Marvel Design Studio seems really neat. You getting to draw comic art, which I think is cool. I
really like that it's like... And it's not like a Marvel hotel. It's a Marvel art hotel.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... Like, they will have the meet and greets and the, you know, sometimes I'm sure they'll have the characters around. But it's like, it's not like they're saying, like, you're staying in the Marvel universe. They're saying, like, this is a, like, celebration of art.
Yeah.
From the, you know, comics and movies and inspired by.
Yeah, it's like you're staying in a big art gallery with a bunch of beds in it. But
in New York, but also in Paris.
In New York. And there's a rooftop bar with screens for walls. They haven't really showed anything of that yet, but
that sounds just like the on the Disney Cruise Line. They have the skylines.
I think it's very similar.
Mm-hmm. And now they're gonna have the Star Wars version of it on the Wish. So
many screen bars. I just want.
They're cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're getting what's that restaurant? Space 220, right?
If someday, maybe.
Yeah.
And then Disneyland Paris finally has a reopening date set for June 17th, not that long from now. It will reopen with Disneyland Park, Walt Disney Studios Park, Disney's Newport Bay Club Hotel, and the Disney Village. Guests will be able to see their favorite characters at selfie spots and other surprise and delight appearances. They are adding the Cheshire Cat Express train with characters from Alice in Wonderland. I believe that was used in an old parade once upon a time.
So these are like the character, because I saw was like the Cheshire Cat thing. I thought, like, are they retheming their train? But no. Do they even have a train?
I don't know. I think I've seen pictures of the Cheshire Cat thing. It's like a parade float, like a multi-car parade float. And they will also be opening Cars Road Trip, formerly known as the Studio Backlot Tour over there.
Very interested to see what that's like.
They renamed Catastrophe Canyon Cars Catastrophe Canyon.
I have not. Seriously?
That's
amazing.
100% serious. it will have a bunch of natural wonders that you would find along Route 66, like the world's largest lug nut.
That's a natural wonder right there.
natural. I'm very interested to see how that's implemented and all of the stunts and things. But very excited to see this park open. It has had a rough year and a half. It's opened and closed, I think, 3 times, which they are tied with Hong Kong for the most opening and closings of any park.
I'm glad they're getting open again.
Yeah, me too. It's always a good sign when these parks are able to get their gates back open.
I'd love to get out there if I could.
Yeah, me too. I want to see Phantom Manor, the redo.
Yeah, I watched a video of it just the other day. I love their whole storyline.
That was like the first ride I ever got obsessed with.
I think besides Mystic Manor.
Yeah.
They're pretty much like with her like singing the whole ride, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Where they put that static figure on the stairs. Beautiful.
Love that.
But that's another tangent for another day. Our last bit of news in the queue before we get to the main attraction. Disney has announced what some on the internet call like a loot box or DLC for Theme Park Land, at least in the video game space. One of my favorite game directors quote tweeted it and said something snarky about DLC. These are the web power bands. If you are watching the video version, if not, go to our website, check it out, because you need the visual.
I mean, to describe it, it's a web slinger on your wrist or a repulsor. That's what they call them, right? Iron Man's like repulsors on your
hand. Yes. Yeah.
The like straps on.
Yeah. So it's basically like every web slinger toy you've ever had with
without the silly string.
Exactly, without the silly string. But it can have all of these different themed attachments, which is really neat. So there are 4 currently that they've announced, so I'm sure that they will come out with more.
Well, I think that's the 4 types of... Those aren't the... Are they attachments or are they... Like, that's an actual thing?
Perhaps they're actual things. It was not clear whether they were...
Like it's 2 web slingers and 2 repulsors.
Okay.
That's the vibe I'm getting. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you may be right. I was honestly confused on that front because it made it seem like you could collect them all. And I thought, okay, so you buy the one.
I think it's like, you know, buying wands.
Yeah.
For the aesthetic. I don't know. But then again, they do something on the ride. So.
Yeah. So there are 4 types. There's Spider-Man, Ghost Spider, Iron Man, and Rescue, which I thought was a very fun inclusion because Rescue was just kind of like a throwaway thing in Endgame. But
that's Morgan, right? Or no, that's never mind. That's Pepper.
Yes.
Okay.
So these aren't just toys or wands that you can use in the land. These actually can affect your outcome on Web Slingers of Spider-Man Adventure, which is like a shooter type game ride where you would use your wrists to shoot webs at little spider bots that are taking over Avengers campus. But these web power bands can actually give you kind of special abilities.
I mean, yeah, I don't think they've really, you know, gone into detail on how, like how will it make it easier to hit the targets or hit like multiple targets at once or.
They've said that the Ghost Spider one in particular has electrodynamic webs, so think like Miles Morales in the PlayStation game. And Iron Man and Rescue will have repulsor blasts. And
does that mean you don't shoot webs anymore, you just shoot repulsor blasts?
I would assume that's what that means.
Interesting.
They haven't gone into a ton of detail about these, but it is understood that it somehow, I would assume through RFID or something, links your arm band to the ride. And then as you sling your wrist out or hold your hand up for the repulsor blast, you will get a reactive animation on the screen as you pass in the vehicle.
We kind of glossed over it there, but they got Ghost Spider.
Yeah.
So I'm really wondering if that means we're getting Gwen in the MCU. Like, I know it, I know it's like a, it's not, but because the land is MCU adjacent, I would say, right?
It is its own thing. The Marvel theme park universe.
Right, but
yeah.
Like, that's the only character. Well, I think they've said that they're also going to have, what was it, Squirrel Girl in the ride? Didn't they say that, like, originally?
Maybe. That seems familiar, what you're saying. They've said, if you go back to when, like, this and Galaxy's Edge were first announced, so much that they said was going to happen haven't actually come to light.
But we haven't seen anything from inside the attraction yet, so we don't know. Yeah.
Right. That. And we've also not seen any trailers for Spider-Man No Way Home. Is that what it is? Yeah. So Ghost Spider could be in that film as well.
I would flip.
I mean, they are doing a multiverse thing with Toby and Andrew Garfield. I mean, so
they haven't announced that, Brittany. We don't know that for sure.
Listen. If you look hard enough, the evidence is there on the internet. in addition to these power bands, they've also shown a full look at the range of spider bots that are super cute. They come in a variety of superheroes, so you can get the traditional Spider-Man colors, Ant-Man, Wasp, Black Widow, Black Panther, and Iron Man.
And these I know I'm going back a little bit, but
yeah.
if Emma Stone was already there filming Cruella, right? Like, for Disney, she could have, you know, just popped in for Marvel, you know, she could for Gwen, you know? I don't know. Anyway, I'm excited for Spider-Bots too.
Now I'm gonna be thinking about that after the show is over. They also showed off these cool web slingers that are authentic. As well as some goggles that can do Tom Holland Spider-Man has like the eyes, the shutters on the eyes. Yeah,
like emotional, like he can express emotion with his suit, right?
Yeah. So these goggles do the same thing with LEDs.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
I wonder if like they haven't said if like any of some of this stuff will like affect. I don't know. I guess that would the only thing would be like meet and greet. Be like, oh, look, our eyes match or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for all of the Spider-Man character performers that have to learn how to narratively somersault.
Especially with the new movie coming out, like
That we still don't have a trailer.
You know what? I just thought of it. So if they are opening up a multiverse with like Spider-Man. In the MCU, then the theme park universe is part of the multiverse.
Yeah.
So if it's open, then anything is any character in any Marvel thing. Does that make sense? Do you see what I'm putting down?
No, yeah. And then it's also part of the theme park metaverse on top of the MCU multiverse.
So what, like Society of Explorers and Adventurers? MCU crossover? Is that?
I'm not insinuating anything. This week, the show is sponsored by Views and Cues on Etsy and their scratch-off theme park and amusement park maps. These unique maps include the top 50 theme parks in America and are the perfect size to fit most frames at 18 inches by 24 inches, so you can scratch off each of the parks that you visit as you go through them. These parks are a must-have for any theme park fan and make a great gift for that crazy theme park fan in your life, and you can easily find them by heading over to Etsy.com and searching theme park scratch off poster. Thanks, Views and Cues. Let's get into the big news of the week.
It's time for the main attraction.
This week we got a surprise in the form of a character meet and greet kind of experience. In the former home of A Day in the Park with Barney over at Universal Studios Florida, called DreamWorks Destination.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get over there for, I won't specify, but I got into the team member preview. I did get to see it for their very first show, at least that guests into that I know of, you know. So it's basically like you go into the former like actual theater, mm-hmm. and all of the benches are gone, and it's like they have the three sections around the stage, and you get grouped into a number on the ground, and once everyone's in on their numbers, the three random DreamWorks characters come out, you know, for each show. And then they dance a little bit, you know, there's music, and then there's like a host guy who's like doing trivia. And so number one would go first, they walk up to the stage, they take their picture, and then they go to the last number, and like the whole circle of numbers moves around and takes their picture with that DreamWorks character. And then when they're done doing that, and everyone's done it, then they dance again, they do another little choreographed dance number, and the characters rotate into the next spot. So you do that until you've taken a picture with each character.
Okay. Yeah, it seems very organized to be such a randomly thrown in, I'm sure it's been in the works for a while, thing.
Yeah, I'm sure they were like, how do we do socially distant character meets where like you can still personally interact with the character? And this is what they came up with.
It's a really smart pivot, that's for sure. And then to offer kind of a unique experience, or at least semi-unique every time you go, mm-hmm. you might meet Branch and Poppy and King Julian once, and then you'll go back and it'll be Alex and Tigress and Puss Boots another time. I wonder if you would get like Shrek or any kind of rare character.
In like the announcer at one point in there, I don't know, you know, obviously if this is always going to be the case, but since Shrek has his own meet and greet, he was like calling out that like, you know, if you, here's Puss in Boots, but if you want to go see Shrek, he's definitely over here.
Okay.
At meet and greet, you know, at the what's it called, the, I don't know, Shrek theater.
Yeah.
Shrek 40. Yeah.
Yeah, I would wonder if you could get like Fiona, human or ogre.
I don't think we've ever seen Ogre Fiona outside of the only place I've seen her is Gaylord Palms when they had that license, I think.
She's in the Christmas parade.
Is she? Oh. Mm-hmm. You're right. I forgot about that. Totally.
Baby puppets with the heads that move.
Yeah. I just haven't seen the Christmas parade in a long time, so that's why.
So like those, they have those, right? Like, if it's anything like Disney, there's a costuming building with all of these costumes in there.
I guess that is a possibility, because I know you can meet, you know, human Fiona out in the park at the Shrek 4D area. But, yeah.
That would be cool. This is obviously geared towards the younger kids older kids, too. But
it's kind of interesting because, like, since it was the team member preview, there was no children in the theater. And like, it's like so obviously like, come on, everybody. Like,
and then you have a bunch of like 20 somethings. Like,
yep.
I'm like trying to make the most unenthused face possible for those of you.
You could tell who the character performer, like friends were.
Yeah.
Cause they would be like, really animated and dancing with them like as guests, and then all the like, you know, attractions and food and beverage and operations, everything would just be like, yeah.
I'll be interested to see, just like with everything else, because this seems to be like an experience that you said before was formulated at least a little bit with COVID safety precautions in mind.
Absolutely.
How or if it will change once we don't have to wear masks inside anymore and don't have to socially distance and things like that.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because it has that whole park, like play area inside in there. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, you know, if they're going to, you know, keep any of that and retheme it to DreamWorks stuff, or like over, like right now it's just closed off. You just exit it basically through the because like the pre-show area had like two tiers, so you come in on the bottom tier and you exit on the top tier, so you come out basically the same direction.
Okay. Is the Barney Fountain still like Barney?
It's empty. No.
Oh. tragedy.
No Bonnie stop here.
Well, maybe this is a sign of a new kid zone to come.
It's interesting to see, you know, another IP in that space.
Mm-hmm. But that was everything, and I thank
everything
you.
Everything and more.
Everything and more, plus our ramblings.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for hopping on here with me and filling in for Seth while he's watching shows forever and ever.
I wish I were at Fringe. I haven't seen a live stage show in so long.
Yeah, I know.
Besides DreamWorks Destination, if you want to count that.
No, you'll have to ask Seth if that is the better of the two.
We gotta get his review on it.
Yeah, we'll need Seth's review to compare to yours. But before we go, I just wanted to plug our subscription plan because we don't have any listener thank yous this week. Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription service. You can pick whichever one works for you, but if you pick Club or VIP the week after you subscribe, you get a shout out on the podcast. So you should do that.
I would really
appreciate it. And if you have, I don't know, a spare moment or two, go to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast listening platform and give us a 5-star rating and a nice little review, because somehow it helps the algorithms push out our little podcast to all the other theme park fans that might be interested if they see that we are a good one. So say we're a good one.
I think I'll go do that.
That would be very nice. Everyone follow Quinn's example. And I would like to thank once again Views and Cues for sponsoring this episode. Quinn, if you would, tell everybody at home where they can find you on the interwebs.
So you can find me on Twitter, just at Quinn Roseboom, just my name. Rose and then boom, like it exploded. I guess if you're watching the video, you can see it right there. And then on Instagram, I'm Quinn Boom, QUINNBOOM.
And I'm Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also find my work every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been watching this for the past hour or so, hanging out with us. And I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, get vaccinated if you haven't already. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Well, I won't, but you'll see Seth.
You won't. Bye, everybody.
Have a good one.